The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
What can be put into the Constitution can slip away from you very quickly. And the greatest example going on right now before our very eyes is Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, which they're just disappearing with a magic wand, as if it doesn't exist, even though it could not be clearer what it's stating. And so, you know, they want to kick it to Congress. So it's going to be up to us on January 6, 2025, to tell the rampaging Trump mobs that he's disqualified. And then we need bodyguards for everybody in civil war conditions, all because the nine justices, not all of them, but these justices who have not many cases to look at every year, not that much work to do, a huge staff, great protection, simply do not want to do their job and interpret what the great 14th Amendment means.
That's what an actual threat to democracy looks like and sounds like right there. That's Jamie Raskin from back in February. He was commenting on the Supreme Court ruling against those states, remember, Colorado, Maine, that just wanted to strike Trump from the ballot because he's an insurrectionist. So there's Jamie Raskin talking at a bookstore with some other elites back in February, saying that, hey, if it takes an insurrection to stop the insurrectionist, we'll do it. We can't make this up. I mean, he's saying the quiet part out loud. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. Another busy show, another packed show, just like yesterday. Every day when I get up and think of a lighter show, not as much preparation, more fun clips. It just seems like that we're bombarded with another news cycle. And that's the way it's going to be today. Although hopefully we can get around to the golf excerpts from that little video that DeChambeau posted, I think, now over a week ago. In any event, you can get to the live video stream of this program at TrumpetDaily.com or at our Rumble channel. Just go to Rumble.com/TrumpetDaily. Make sure that if you go to Rumble, you leave us the thumbs up and a nice comment as well. You can also email the show, TD@TheTrumpet.com. So just think back over the past. Think about the real insurrection that's been going on since 2016. The spying, the lying, the weaponized agencies of the federal government, FBI, all the text messages going back and forth between Strzok and Page, the impeachments, the indictments, the mugshots, the lawfare, I mean, incarceration, anything and every assassination, whatever it takes to stop Trump, to get Trump, to make sure Trump, as one congressman put it, is eliminated, whatever it takes. Do you think, just stop and think on this for a moment, do you think these people, these same people who tried to murder Donald Trump, do you think they would oppose a civil war if it served their political purposes? Well, that's Jamie Raskin saying if that's what it takes. If the Supreme Court's not going to act, well then, you know, leave it to us in Congress. And when we get around to January 6th, we'll have our own January 6th on steroids. I mean, with actual threats of civil war and preventing Donald Trump. That's someone who's saying if Trump wins by the democratic process, we still have an obligation to stop him, to prevent him. He's an insurrectionist, so we can carry out an insurrection. Just think about the point we made so many times that what they, my father makes it just in this latest article, it's not quite printed in the Trumpet, it's the September issue of the Trumpet, the title, America's Supreme Court Has Fulfilled Bible Prophecy. That's Raskin, unhinged, because as he sees it, the Supreme Court is helping Trump. And just think about Amos 7 and verse 13. We refer to it often. They're not fully supportive of Trump there on the court, but they are with some of these rulings. They're clearly helping Trump. You can't take him off the ballot. There's no evidence of insurrection. You can't just remove him because you don't want people to vote for him. This is the way Democrats think. This is the way these people, who are a threat to democracy, as they like to say over and again, is the way they think. Every once in a while, they say the quiet part out loud. Yeah, we'll nullify it. Even if he wins in November, we'll just make sure that he's not inaugurated as president of the United States. As I say, if they're willing to carry out an assassination attempt, then what more are they willing to do? My father makes the point in this article that really, you know, when Barack Obama came out with that statement following Joe Biden's dreadful debate back in June 27th, remember, it was 5 days after the fact, and Obama said, look, we all have bad days and we all have bad debates. Believe me, I know. And then he says, you know, that's why everything's riding on the election this November. And my father says, you know, really what Obama wants, he's not so much concerned about the election in November. He wants a civil war. And my father suggested that that could come around the time of the inauguration of Trump. We'll see how spot on that particular, what do you want to call it, I guess, is his estimate, his what he assumes might could happen. Of course, so many of these things are based on the sure word of Bible prophecy. We don't know all the dates and the specifics of every single event as it unfolds. But civil war is coming. I mean, Jamie Raskin's basically calling for it. And we want to take these people at their words. Again, what they're projecting onto the other side. There was an insurrection. This was the worst attack on government since the Civil War, say the people who openly advocate for nullifying a Democratic election and say that, you know, if it caused a civil war, so be it. That assassination attempt, by the way, they want to try to just remove that into the dustbin of history. We're not even 4 weeks removed from the attempt to murder Donald Trump. Jesse Waters continues to do a pretty good job of staying on this story. Listen to a bit from him last night, clip 3.
Fox News alert, Secret Service whistleblowers are coming out of the woodwork, furious about last week's press conference where the director, Ron Rowe, admitted the agency failed but wouldn't fire anyone. Trump's entire protective detail's been an illusion. The rally in Butler was the first time the Secret Service sent counter-snipers to a Trump event. And those snipers were communicating by text message without Wi-Fi. Only the locals had radios, and according to the Washington Post, the Secret Service wasn't even in the same room as they were. They were in a completely different command center on the opposite side of the farm. Basically, the Secret Service was playing a big game of telephone while Crooks was stalking the grounds. Who signed off on this disastrous plan? According to whistleblowers who've spoken to Senator Josh Hawley, it all comes down to the lead site agent, who they claim is inexperienced and incompetent.
On that day, she was not enforcing the normal security protocols. She was not checking people's IDs. She did not use Secret Service agents. Most of the agents there that day were not Secret Service agents. They were Homeland Security agents. And get this, Jesse, most of them had never worked a rally before. Oh, and yet God. This is who she chose to staff the event with, and she didn't train them or integrate them. From top to bottom, it was a total disaster. Jesse, it is a miracle, not only that Trump is alive, but that more good Americans were not killed. It's unbelievable.
It is a miracle that Donald Trump is alive. I read somewhere where he only had one of his regular Secret Service agents on detail that day. All the rest of them, like this lady from the Pittsburgh office. No, we don't need to check anybody. No, this is everything is secure. We'll bring in inexperienced agents from DHS. It was a setup. It was an inside job. It's so obvious. This letter that Hawley wrote to Ronald Rowe, I mean, he was more involved than even Cheadle was in denying Donald Trump security detail. He had been doing it for months. Hawley writes, the whistleblower further alleges that you personally directed significant cuts to CSD up to and including reducing the division's manpower by 20%. You did not mention this in your Senate testimony when asked directly to explain manpower reductions. The whistleblower also alleges retaliation against those within the Secret Service who expressed concern about the security at President Trump's events. So keep your mouth shut. Don't blow the whistle. Otherwise, you'll be punished. There's your federal government. There's your Secret Service. That's been politicized too. Well, we've seen so many of these attacks, even the assassination attempt, just backfire in a spectacular way. Listen to Elon Musk. This was from an interview that was posted Friday. He's talking here about the coming presidential election and the attempt to kill Donald Trump. This is clip 12.
There was tragically an assassination attempt on Donald Trump. After this, you tweeted that you endorse him. What's your philosophy behind that endorsement? What do you hope Donald Trump does for the future of this country and for the future of humanity?
I thought Trump displayed courage under fire, objectively. You know, he's just got shot. He's got blood streaming down his face and he's like fist pumping, saying fight. You know, like that's impressive. Like you can't feign bravery in a situation like that. Like most people would have been ducking. There would not be, because it could be a second shooter. You don't know. The president of the United States got to represent the country, and they're representing you. They're representing everyone in America. Well, like you want someone who is strong and courageous to represent the country. That's not to say that he is without flaws. We all have flaws. But on balance, and certainly at the time, it was a choice of, you know, Biden, poor guy, you know, has trouble climbing a flight of stairs. And the other one's fist pumping after getting shot. This is no comparison.
Of course, now Biden's out of the picture. They've got Kamala in there. And she's joined by another left-wing radical, Tim Walz, from up in Minnesota. The one that, you know, said, hey, we need to give space for the rioters. Their voices need to be heard. The one who wants to give illegals driver's licenses so they can vote. I mean, they're not even concealing it anymore. It's to the left of Bernie Sanders. It used to be you needed to push Sanders out of the way and get someone that at least appeared to be more moderate. What a hoax to try to make Kamala Harris, who when she was in, when she was in Congress as a senator, there was some non-political agency that determined she was the most radically leftist senator in Congress, even more to the left than Bernie Sanders. So Tim Walz, I mean, he's a perfect pick. But just going back to, you know, Elon Musk, he decides that the moment he sees the assassination, he gets on X later that day and says, I'm supporting Trump. He sees it. He sees the attacks, the impeachments, the indictments, the lawfare, the incarceration, or at least what they hoped would have been incarceration, then the assassination. Listen to Mark Zuckerberg. I mean, you could blame a lot of the steal, the election steal in 2020 on this man. He's another billionaire. And listen to what he had to say not that long ago about the assassination attempt on Donald Trump's life. Clip 13.
And I've done some stuff personally in the past. I'm not planning on doing that this time. And that includes, you know, not endorsing either of the candidates. Now, look, I mean, there's obviously a lot of crazy stuff going on in the world. I mean, the historic events over the last, like over the weekend. And I mean, on a personal note, it's, you know, I mean, seeing Donald Trump get up after getting shot in the face and pump his fist in the air with the American flag is one of the most bad things I've ever seen in my life. It's at some level, as an American, it's like hard to not get kind of emotional about that spirit and that fight. And I think that that's why a lot of people like the guy.
That's why a lot of people like Donald Trump, because he's strong, he's courageous, he's bold. That's Zuckerberg, and you might have heard there at the start of that clip, he says, you know, in the past, yeah, I've been involved politically. I mean, he gave hundreds of millions of dollars to get the drop boxes going, to get out the vote, to harvest the ballots. And there he says, I'm not going to be involved this time around. I don't know if he's voting for Trump, but Trump said recently that Zuckerberg's called him several times since the assassination attempt. This is unbelievable. These people I've mentioned before, Elon Musk in his book or the biography about him, talks about how much he hates and despises Trump. When you're losing the left-wing billionaires, you know that politically speaking, I mean, this is a dumpster fire. So there you've got Raskin saying, I mean, if the Supreme Court's not going to prevent Trump, then we'll have to do it in Congress. I mean, they would presumably have to get the votes. But just the, and then civil war, and then this, and we have to get bodyguards and protection and all that. Once we nullify Trump as president before the inauguration. I mean, that's a window into their thinking. These people who would carry out an assassination attempt, it fails, and now, hey, if it takes civil war, then so be it. These are sick and deranged people that really and truly hate their country. They hate democracy. They hate the opposition. They want to kill them. Jamie Raskin, the Federalist, says here, if you listen to Raskin, the real insurrection will be led by Democrats, and it'll be on January 6, 2025. Isn't that amazing, too? If it happens on January 6th, they've been going on and on with this fake insurrection for the past 3.5 years. And then they're basically saying the quiet part out loud that, no, we're going to actually have a real one. January 6th, 2025. It says in a video clip making the rounds Monday on social media, the far-left firebrand laments what he characterizes as a lazy Supreme Court interfering with the Democratic Party's plan to interfere with the 2024 election. They're planning election interference. And so the court wants to kick it to Congress. So it's going, this is quoting Raskin. So it's going to be up to us on January 6th to tell the rampaging Trump mobs that he's disqualified. The rampaging Trump mobs. If he's voted in November, those Trump crowds are going to be celebrating. They're going to be cheering. But the way Raskin and company see the cheering, the support, the tens of thousands at rallies, they're mobs, you see. Says, and then we need bodyguards for everybody and civil war conditions, all because 9 justices, not all of them, but these justices who have not many cases to look at every year. Civil war because of the Supreme Court, because of the kingdom's court. This is a perfect storm. It is. It is, as I say, every now and again. They say the quiet part out loud. Obama, like my father says, I'll give you the quote from the next trumpet, and just I'll give you a little preview of what's coming out in the next trumpet. It's based on a message my father gave some weeks ago. Tomorrow's news today. Raskin's rant may rank among the more incendiary comments about the court since the U.S. Senator Chuck Schumer unleashed his Release the Whirlwind. Remember, he threatened Gorsuch? We're coming after you, Gorsuch. Yeah, they'll storm the court. They'll storm Congress. They'll do it violently. They'll actually carry out violent acts. And then guys like Tim Walz will say, hey, they need a voice. Okay, they're burning down Minneapolis, but they need a voice. And we need more people videotaping what police officers do so that we can catch them when they murder George Floyd, St. Floyd. He used to be worshipped. He's to be applauded. He's to be made a saint. Never mind Minneapolis burning. I mean, we've got our regime media out there basically saying it's mostly peaceful. These people, as I said yesterday, they love them some left-wing violence. They love a good left-wing insurrection. They love going after the cops, going after law enforcement, the police. They love it. The congressman's vitriol simply cements the fact that the same people calling Trump a threat to democracy would assault the will of the people to keep the Republican from governing. They're telling you. They're telling you what they're going to do. They will not let Donald Trump in, even if you elect him. Even if you elect him in a landslide, he's an insurrectionist. So we can disqualify him on January 6th. Of all days, Trump just tried to, he was just encouraging his protesters to encourage the men of Congress, the men and women of Congress to look into, to constitutionally look into all of these reports of election stealing. He was trying to do it through the courts. He was trying to do it through what's lawful in Congress. What if Donald Trump would have said anything like what you just heard Raskin say? He'd probably be in prison because there would be a left-wing judge somewhere saying, hey, you called for civil war. You actually even used the term civil war. Now, you blamed it on the court or you blamed it on this or that, but still, you were inciting an insurrection. Trump never said anything like that. He said to those at the rally on January 6th, 3.5 years ago, go and protest peacefully. He asked them to do it peacefully. But here's Raskin. What's the quote? The quote is, and then we need bodyguards for everybody and civil war conditions, all because of 9 justices, all because of the Supreme Court. That's Jamie Raskin. He said that last February, just a few months ago. Congressman Raskin continues to stoke the flames of division in this country. This is the Federalist. Through his use of incendiary language aimed at his political opponents, and once again proves the hypocrisy of leftists like him who slander conservatives in an attempt to make progressives' proclivity towards violence, which has been on full display in cities and college campuses across America in recent times. That's why Kamala needs Tim Walz. Because he's pro-criminal, just like Kamala is, just like the dear leader is. Let the criminals out of the jail, out of prison. Invite them in from Venezuela, the gangs. These are Obama's foot soldiers, for sure. That's another thing my father's been right on top of these past few months. These are not immigrants fleeing corruption and violence from their home country. These are military-aged young men who are here not just to vote, but they're here to fight. They're here to commit acts of violence. Not every single one. Okay, let's qualify it. But they're soldiers. America's being invaded. And it's all part of the plan. It's all part of the fundamental transformation. Where were these people? Look at this. I assume that's Minneapolis. Where was Raskin? Where was AOC? Where was Schumer? Where was Kamala when this was going on? Well, the answer to that is they were in front of the TV cameras saying, let's get him out of jail. That there needs to be some violence. This is what it takes to get our voices heard. AOC said words to that effect. They were encouraging the violence. They had been for years. Pelosi said, I just can't for the life of me understand why there aren't more uprisings. Well, she got what she wanted in 2020. And they're calling for another one in January of 2025. Raskin's office did not respond to a request for comment. His bellicose statements still mean nothing if Republicans take back the Senate and hold the House, but they are a look into the Trump hating, radical mindset of Democrats that will stop at nothing to maintain power. It's almost word for word what my father wrote in the Trumpet in 2018. What we're seeing is what the radical left is willing to do to maintain their hold on power. They are obsessed with power. They want to grow their power. They want to use a crisis like we covered on yesterday's show. These communist regimes, the Marxist regimes, like in the UK, they want to use the crisis to expand the power of government. That's what it always gets back to. And if the people vote against it, well, we'll just say Article or Amendment 14, the 14th Amendment, Article 3. He's disqualified. He's an insurrectionist. So we're justified in carrying out our insurrection. Raskin's threatening rhetoric now seems more like the release of the whirlwind than ever. Yeah, they are about to unleash a whirlwind. They're not going to stop unless they're forcefully stopped. They won't. They won't stop. They're not going to stop at assassination attempt. Sundance over at Conservative Treehouse. Raskin is pledging to purposefully trigger a civil war within the U.S. if Donald Trump wins the 2024 presidential election. Raskin is prepared to work with Democrats and block any certification of the vote that has President Trump declared the winner. You can't even question the vote on the other side, or you're guilty of insurrection. Here is Raskin saying, we will block it. We will not certify the election, which by their definition is insurrection. It's worse. It's worse than anything Trump was trying in January of 2021, when he was just urging Hawley and Ted Cruz and others in Congress to look into all of these cases of election fraud, the drop boxes, the mules, the glitches on the machines, the dead people voting, the people coming in from out of state, the ballots coming in from out of state in the case of Pennsylvania. Everything shutting down. Counting going on for 5 days. You remember. I'll never forget that night. Just that sick pit in my stomach as I thought, this is actually happening. They're carrying out a steal. That was Obama. Last time it was the mail-in ballots. This time it's the illegals voting. 14% of them. We played you that video last week. Where are the lawsuits, by the way? That's illegal. You would think there would be just lawsuits hurled at these groups. Whoever's carrying out and getting these people registered to vote, who's behind it? I guess we can't find out. I guess we just have this, you know, James O'Keefe style expose where, you know, some guy with a camera has to go door to door to these illegal immigrants saying, yeah, are you registered to vote? And from what they found, 14% of them had registered. I mean, do the math. If 15 to 20 million have been invited into the country over the past 4 years, do the math. It says here, the Supreme Court ruled that states can't trigger Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. Congress has to do that. This was, again, earlier this year. And so Raskin's commenting on that in February. You saw the video. Raskin sat on the House Select January 6th committee. He's an expert, I guess, on insurrections. He was on the Jan 6th committee and also served as the impeachment manager during the second impeachment effort against President Trump. The House of Representatives already impeached Donald Trump for participating in insurrection by inciting it, Raskin previously said. We've already determined he's guilty of insurrection. Sundance says, watch this guy. Raskin throws around civil war like it's a willy-nilly disposable line without the major consequences he would trigger. The major consequences, the whirlwind that's coming. They're itching for civil war, and they'll want it all the more if they somehow lose the presidential election. It may be they pull off the steal, as I've been covering. They're certainly putting all the mechanisms in place, including the illegal aliens voting. I mean, that guy, Tim Walz, in Minnesota, if I have time, I'll play it for you later. I mean, he's all for, you know, convicted felons voting. Now, Donald Trump's a felon, so he can't be president or anything. But in the way they typically think is, yeah, if they're in prison or they're felons, let them vote. Let them vote. I mean, after all, we're going soft on crime. We're going to get the prison vote, too. This is from my father's article, the one I just told you about, coming out in the September issue of The Trumpet. Ready for war. There's the January issue from last year. If you don't have a subscription, make sure you call our operators today. Not tomorrow, not next week, today. 1-866-930-3024. If you want tomorrow's news today, become a Trumpet subscriber. The best part of it is there's no cost, no obligation. It's free, completely free. People have emailed us saying, how do you do this? How do you make this available? I feel guilty. I'm getting all this literature from you, and there's no cost. Well, others have made sacrifices to pay for these beautiful publications, these high-quality publications, these hardcover books in the case of AUA. My father writes, first of all, he's commenting here. He quotes Barack Obama's statement, his disingenuous statement, 5 days after the dreadful debate where he talked about, well, we all have bad debates. Believe me, I know. We need to stand with Joe. We need to stick with Joe. Didn't very well pan out, did it? He was saying one thing, and then behind closed doors, he was maneuvering. He was plotting. He was scheming. He was conspiring to throw Joe under the bus. My father says, first of all, Biden and Obama do not tell the truth to the American people about much of anything. Again, he's speaking about that statement that Obama sent out after Biden's debate. He says, they lie routinely, just like the devil. They are willing to say or do anything to maintain power. I mean, the Federalist just said that. It's so obvious now that these people hate their country. They're attacking their country from within. They're communist insurrectionists. It says here, Obama always accuses others of exactly what he is guilty of. Exactly what they're projecting on Trump and Trump supporters. This is what they're guilty of. This is what they're planning in the case of civil war, in the case of an insurrection. It says here, more importantly, Obama's message, that message he sent out, suggested that the November election is the big thing. But I don't believe that is the big thing in his mind at all. This is my father. This is my father's commentary based on Bible prophecy. He says, I believe he has a civil war or a race war in mind, possibly aimed around the inauguration of Donald Trump. His big goal has always been to blot out the name of Israel. That is Obama's big goal. We have to keep coming back to the big goal, the fundamental transformation. Blot out even the name of Israel. That means America especially, but also Britain and the Jewish state in the Middle East. We played the montage, the opening, the extra long montage or cold open from yesterday about the crashing economy in the United States, people taking to the streets in Britain, Israel on the verge of a regional war with Hezbollah and Iran, the United States, Britain, and Israel. These three brothers. By the way, this quote from America Under Attack, it's talking about the Jeroboam section in Amos 7, but just to point you to one bit from it, a stat that my father refers to. It says, they insist that the nation, talking about our leaders today. They insist that the nation spend billions and billions of dollars to manage this problem they are causing, even when we have $31 trillion in debt that we can never repay, debt that will explode in our faces at any time. When my father updated that in 2022, he was talking about $31 trillion in debt. That's just 2 years ago. Today it's $35 trillion. $35 trillion! I was looking at just a chart showing the federal debt. You go back like 10 years and it was in the teens. Now it's $35 trillion. How can you just add $2 trillion in debt every single year? Could a company get away with this? Would Elon Musk be able to get away with that at Twitter or X? Or what about Zuckerberg at Facebook? Could they just keep piling on debt by the let's just say billions? Those companies would go under just like that. But not the federal government, because as far as they're concerned, as far as Jamie Raskin is concerned, I mean, you just keep printing money. It's no problem. I mean, this is a problem that goes across the aisles, by the way. It's not just a Democrat problem. Look at the trillions we spent for COVID relief. And that was brought on by a man-made disease. A man-made disease. Die by suicide. Going back to that interview Elon Musk had where he talked about the courage of Donald Trump. Listen to what he says here about America's broken economy, clip 11.
I think we want to reduce the amount of spending that we're, at least slow down the spending. Because we're currently spending at a rate that is bankrupting the country. The interest payments on U.S. debt this year exceeded the entire Defense Department spending. If this continues, all of the federal government taxes will simply be paying the interest. And you keep going down that road, and you end up, you know, in the tragic situation that Argentina had back in the day. Argentina used to be one of those prosperous places in the world. And hopefully with Milei taking over, he can restore that. But it was an incredible fall from grace for Argentina to go from being one of the most prosperous places in the world to being very far from that. So I think we should not take American prosperity for granted.
Argentina, Venezuela, I mean, you go right down the line and look at what these communist regimes do to nations, to countries, to ordinary people. I mentioned that Margaret Thatcher quote where she said socialism works great until you run out of other people's money. This is at American greatness. You can see why their precious narratives, their false narratives, their lies are so important. Because they have disastrous policies. In American Greatness, this author here says, back in 2020, I wrote a column on the democratic art of magical thinking. Thought that was pretty interesting title, given what my father has said about will worship, about magical thinking, about the spirit behind those that would support someone like Adolf Hitler and his magical appeal. Think of the swooning before the dear leader. Now again, he's to be silenced. That's the way my father introduces this article, by the way. Watch the rise of Donald Trump and the fall of Barack Obama. So God's having to intervene, not just to work to save by the hand of Jeroboam, but to silence Antiochus as well. So much prophecy being fulfilled. It says here, magical thinking, I explained, is the irrational belief rampant among primitive peoples and those exposed to too many woke college seminars that our thoughts influence or constitute reality. There can be a certain entertainment value to the phenomenon, which is why I added the word mask to the title of this piece. A mask was a form of courtly entertainment that combined dance, music, fancy dress, and architectural fantasy to present a deferential allegory flattering to the patron. That's essentially what we have here with Kamala Harris. The New York Magazine cover depicting her cackling astride the globe would be a suitable playbill for this intended deep state entertainment. It's just like a big Hollywood movie. Her just cackling away. And you've probably seen the extended video versions of her going on and on with this laughter. This one was making the rounds just yesterday, clip 7.
And as a woman, there's a balance to be struck between being tough and being a bitch.
Trump's the weird one. J.D. Vance, he's weird. I mean, he's a normal family guy. Three small kids. Picked himself up by his bootstraps. Went from being a hillbilly to a Harvard grad or Yale, I forget which, Ivy League school. But these people, her husband, Tim Walz now, the new VP pick for Kamala. You get into the personal lives of these people, just barely scratching beneath the surface, and you get to weird in a hurry. That's putting it nicely. This American greatness piece. I doubt that the Democrats will be able to maintain their willing suspension of disbelief far beyond the convention when the mask ends and the players disperse. How much longer can they keep going on with this charade, with all this fakery and phoniness? What happens when the mask comes off? You can see why. It's just get Trump, get Trump, get Trump. Keep the focus off what we're doing at the southern border or to the economy or to the federal debt or in Ukraine or what we're doing overseas with our diplomacy, if you can call it that, or what we're doing to the military. Just keep your eyes off of that. And look, let's plan a civil war to stop Trump. What happens when the mask comes off? How did the magical thinking arise in the first place? One source is the habit of credulity that is a byproduct of all utopian thought. The Democrats have mutated into the party of nowhere, so it's not surprising that they prefer pleasing fantasy to sobering reality. They're a bunch of fantasists. They just want to have a pleasing fantasy. And so some of the Hollywood celebrities come out now. There's a little bit of electricity, they say, in the Democrat Party. They're going to get behind Kamala. They're going to tell you how wonderful she is, how moderate she is. She's just like an ordinary American. And it's all a lie. It's a big hoax. Add that to the long line of hoaxes that these people are responsible for. Listen to Stephen Miller. He was on with Maria Sunday talking about Kamala here. This is clip 1.
Truth is the cornerstone of a healthy democracy. What you have seen in these last few weeks with the corporate leftist media, the Democrat Party, and their surrogates trying to reinvent and rewrite the history of the most liberal senator and the most liberal vice president in American history is so far beyond gaslighting, so far beyond indoctrination, so far beyond just lying. This is an attempt to pull off the greatest hoax in American history. Kamala Harris, ideologically, is to the left of Bernie Sanders. As borders are, she presided over the admission of 15 to 20 million illegal aliens. Some of those illegal aliens, as you know, Maria, and have covered on your program, have gone on to rape and murder American women and American children. Grievous, heinous, unimaginable crimes by criminals that she chose to admit into this country.
And he went on to add that they're now voting. So they're raping, they're murdering. These are Obama's foot soldiers. And they're, in the case of 14%, just going by that one undercover video, They're voting as well. They're registering to vote. Here's what Miller went on to say, clip two.
How concerned are you that illegals are going to vote in this upcoming election? There is a viral video that reveals 14% of illegal immigrants admitted that they are registered to vote.
Well, it's a certainty. I'm extremely concerned because it is going to happen. Large numbers of the millions of illegal aliens that Border Czar Harris brought into the country will be voting. Obviously, the RNC and Republican campaign entities and private citizen organizations are going to need to sue everywhere and anywhere they possibly can. And every red state, secretary of state, attorney general, and governor needs to take every action they can under law to purge non-citizens from the voter rolls. But this is yet another severe threat to democracy from the party that installed the nominee with zero votes, from the party that lied to us about the border being secure, from the party that lied to us for years about the Hunter Biden laptop and Russian disinformation, from the party that lied to us repeatedly about Russiagate, that lied to us about Ukraine. We are governed by hoaxes. Hoax after hoax, lie after lie. The same people who say illegal aliens aren't voting, and now we have it on video. They're admitting to being registered to vote. This November is about rejecting a government of lies, a regime of dishonesty.
Governed by hoaxes. That's a pretty good way to put it. That's another way of saying America is under attack. This is the book that needs to be blitzed right across the nation and put into as many mailboxes as possible. No cost, no obligation, just like I was saying with the Trumpet subscription. Call our operators, 1-866-930-3024. A government that is governing by hoaxes, by lies and deception. That's Antiochus. Comes in with flatteries, says all the things you want him to say, but look at what they're doing. Look at their actions. Judge them by their fruits. You look at the last several weeks, throwing the fake president under the bus. The reaction right after that right after that debate, we'll never forget that. As my jaw hit the floor, hearing all of these CNN panelists saying, he's got to go. He's not mentally fit. Acting surprised, like it's been carefully concealed from them. They were part of the hoax that Joe Biden's never been better. Joe Scarborough said that this version of Biden is the best ever. It's the best there's ever been. And then what a pivot point. On June 27th, and then Pelosi and the dear leader and Schumer, all of these people conspiring behind closed doors to get rid of Joe, to get rid of Biden. And they do. And then you've got Nancy now out there saying, yeah, Joe Biden's the best ever. Come full circle, I guess. Listen to this, clip 9.
But why do you think that he finally decided to make the decision to step down? It seemed to take a minute.
Well, you really have to ask him. Top of his game. Such a consequential president of the United States. A Mount Rushmore kind of president of the United States. Want to know what comes next.
That he belongs up there on Mount Rushmore. Lincoln and Joe Biden.
But you got Teddy Roosevelt up there, and he's wonderful. I don't say take him down, but you can add Biden.
His legacy is one of the greatest. It's hard to think of any president in a two-year period, one term, have the most accomplishments that he has. Is consequential.
Among all the world's problems right now, we have a bunch of them, don't we? The Biden administration is banning plastic cutlery from the federal government. The plan to target pollution will prohibit the use of single-use plastics across all federal departments. The White House writing this, the president is committed to taking ambitious actions to end plastic pollution and is calling upon the global community to do the same, the White House said. The plan seeks to phase out products like plastic and polystyrene cups, straws, bags, and kitchen cutlery from all White House events and packaging by 2027 and all federal operations by 2035.
His legacy is one of the greatest. It's hard to think of any president in a two-year period, one term, have the most accomplishments that he has is consequential.
If you define consequential as how could you destroy the nation any more than you have in 3.5 years? But he belongs on Mount Rushmore? I mean, cue up all the memes that are going to go across social media now. Mount Rushmore? That's right. The woman that conspired to get rid of him. And now she's out there with this nonsense. Another hoax. Yet another hoax. And now Tim Walz comes along, governor of Minnesota, rabid left winger. And they'll try to scrub his past as well and say, hey, he's just ordinary. He's just a normal American citizen, just like you and me. He believes in normal things. There's nothing weird about his policies. No. Here's some truth about the new VP pick for Kamala, clip 10.
Help us use humane way to get the streets to a place where we can restore the justice so that those that are expressing rage and anger and demanding justice are heard in an area where our children, as we know, are institutionally put behind, and the achievement gap for our communities of color is a shame on this state that we continue to admire by talking about and don't repair it. And I refuse to have it take away the attention of the stain that we need to be working on is what happened with those fundamental institutional racism that allows a man to be held down in broad daylight. And thank God a young person had a camera to video it, because there's not a person here or listening today that wonders how many times that camera's not there.
Tim Walz just signed another big DFL priority into law, expanding access to Minnesota driver's licenses.
About that bill that's being worked on, signed off right now inside the Capitol. It's going to be expanding access to driver's licenses, allowing people to get one regardless of their immigration status. You remember just last week, he signed a bill restoring voting rights for felons as soon as they leave prison.
The governor signed an executive order reaffirming existing rights for trans people in Minnesota to access gender-affirming care.
This is what it means to show empathy. This is what it means to be welcoming.
There are now new protections for abortion access and LGBTQ plus rights. Supporters are explaining the personal reasons they advocated for these laws.
Three bills signed into Minnesota law.
One is long, they're all long, long overdue.
One of them protects people seeking or providing abortions. Meanwhile, the trans refuge law protects people seeking or providing gender-affirming health care.
Gender-affirming care makes us who we are.
State Rep. Lee Finke authored the bill.
All of us are living our daily lives trying to simply find space to be who we are, to love who we love, to exist in our schools.
The other new law bans mental health professionals from practicing conversion therapy.
Trump's weird. Trump and JD are the weird ones. Okay. They'll try to scrub this, though. They'll come up with a hoax, as I say, saying just how ordinary and normal Tim Walz is. He was there during the St. Floyd riots saying that people need to express rage. They need to be heard. He didn't do anything to save a city in his state. He's waxing eloquent about St. Floyd. Even as his city went up in flames, Minneapolis. Just coming back to this American greatness piece, I'll finish with this. It says, some conservative pundits are fretting that Kamala represents a credible challenge to the Trump juggernaut. Absent an assassin's bullet, the successful rekindling of democratic lawfare or some other preternatural intervention, I think the Democrats are setting themselves up not only for major disappointment, but for staggering disillusionment. That's the trouble with magical thinking. They may be a little disillusioned. They probably fully believe in their magical narratives. But what happens when all that blows up? When people see the reality of what's going on, well, then we've got to resort to perhaps disqualifying Donald Trump in Congress, even if it means civil war. Make sure you call our operators and request America under attack. That's all we have time for on today's show. The fastest moving hour in broadcasting. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you again tomorrow.